We're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with special needs or really any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. At this time of year and on birthdays, our children are often given gifts. We are grateful for those who want to bless our kids in this way, but we also know that children are unique, and some gifts are spot on, and others, well, not so much. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about how diverse our kids can be and what some moms have to say about what has been helpful for their child.
But first, I want to give a little thought, a little message, a little devotional from the Word of God.
Focus.
A little focus.
Good.
The gift. Yeah, we're going to be talking about gifts today, and so that led me to think about gifts in the Bible. And just coming up, Christmas, this is the Christmas season, and it's a huge time of the year for giving gifts and receiving gifts. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a promise from God that those who believe will have everlasting life. So Jesus is the Father's gift to us, to all who received him. So there's a gift, and you receive the gift. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's
John 1:12.
Yes, that is really awesome. The wise men. And the We Three Kings of Orient Are is a really famous...
Bearing gifts we traverse far.
You're going to sing that Christmas carol.
I think I'll spare our listeners from my singing voice.
They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm not going to get into the value of those three gifts, but the more I learn about essential oils, the more important those three gifts are. Gold,
yes.
And we know how valuable gold is.
And frankincense. If you go to buy frankincense essential oil, that is one of the more expensive ones. So
yes.
It must be something extremely valuable.
We'll have to do
there.
A whole nother session on essential oils.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Okay. And then God gives gifts to us here on earth. Every good gift, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. That's James 1:17. And life into the future is a gift. And we mentioned that, John 3:16, eternal life. The best gift, we receive the gift of eternal life by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the Christmas message. And God gives to us faith, Ephesians 2:8. We are told that God gives us the gift of faith. It enables us to believe and to do the things that we have been created to do. So let's receive God's gift today.
Oh, that's an awesome message, hon. Thank you. So, talking about gifts for our unique kids.
Our
Don't
children.
You like that word unique?
Yes.
That's a great description
yes.
for our kids. As parents, we're always having discussions about gifts for our children. All children, whether they are what could be called neurotypical or not, have unique interests and likes and dislikes. As parents, we have a tendency to study our children's desires, and we want to come up with gifts that will actually bring the child some joy. Sometimes we hit the mark, and frankly, sometimes we are way off base. We decided to ask some parents what they are thinking in terms of gifts for their children this holiday season. The question we asked was, what kinds of gifts would you like to receive for your child? And here's how the discussion went. Teresa suggested games. And I was thinking about that. We've gotten lots of games for our children through the years because we also have the idea that we want to bring education to our children and we want to bring development to our children. So we always looked for games that would help them to grow. So, and Teresa said, that's one reason I like them so well. The kids are playing these games and they don't realize that they're learning while
having fun. Fun and learning at the same time.
So Tammy suggests things they use in therapies to help at home, like the trampoline, some balls, some sensory items. And she even suggested the gift of
respite. Yes. Take some time off.
I really love Tammy's ideas. It was great when our daughter received stress balls and massagers. And yes, a break, a respite break is always a great idea. Mm-hmm. Jennifer says that, again, trampoline, balls, and cars are all that her son really plays with. Heather says it's important to consider the child you are getting the gift for. For example, her son is 7, but he's only been able to have the small Legos for the last 6 months because of his tendency to put things in his mouth. So we have to know where our children are developmentally. And she says, my daughter wouldn't do well with something super loud like drums, but building toys, dolls, sand toys, trampolines, balls, and things like that are pretty common gifts at their house. It is always nice, don't you think, Tom, when a gift giver knows some particulars about the child, or at least takes cues from the parents who know the child best.
Yes, when I was thinking about gifts for our kids, I went the sports route. And so that's a lot of these things are sports ideas, too. Trampolines. We got a little trampoline for the kids at one time. Baseballs, soccer balls.
And being homeschooling parents, we're always looking for physical education ideas, weren't we, to mm-hmm. kind of round out that portfolio we needed to create for our kids. Mm-hmm. Heather adds that it has been a long road figuring out what's good for her kids and the way that gifts are given. She said her side of the family gets it because her brother and she had learning disabilities, ADHD. Now, her husband's side of the family, not so much, because they didn't have those experiences. They didn't understand so much what kinds of gifts would be good to give the children. So she just knew that she quietly had to put some presents away for several years until it was appropriate for her children to play with them. I hear you, too. And so, Tom, do you remember Amy's aversion, our youngest daughter's aversion to stuffed animals?
Yes.
And
yes.
So what did we often get from kind people who wanted to love on her?
Oh, stuffed animals.
When she was a baby. Yeah, we got stuffed animals, and she was not having it. And, you know, for whatever reason, that was just not something that was pleasant for her. And she still doesn't really care for stuffed animals. You know, a lot of teenage girls will appreciate having lots of stuffed animals. Like our Katie had so many stuffed animals, there was hardly any room for her in the bed. And when we would go on vacation... her next sister in age, who was 18 months younger than her, Becca, would be like, okay, if you're going to be in the same bed with me on vacation, you can bring one animal and that's all. And of course, wouldn't Katie pick the very biggest animal one. That she has? I think it was a lion, a tiger? She called it Raja. It was a big tiger, I think. And that thing was huge. Becca would roll her eyes and that would be in bed with them. And it was only one, but it was the biggest one.
I remember going, doing some window shopping with one of the kids, and there was a stuffed animal, a cat.
That was Becca.
That was Becca. It wasn't even a toy store. It was a furniture store.
Yes.
And I went in, I said, how much do you want for that cat?
And it was way too expensive. And don't you know that Daddy walked out of the store with that cat?
Oh, it had to be for my girl.
I remember that so vividly. But, you know, taking into account who the children are is really important. If you are a parent, you want to do that. And certainly if you are loving a family, it's really nice if you can kind of ask the parents. If you don't know, ask the parents. But giving an appropriate gift is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So Shelley says it's great when people ask her. My girl and her sensory issues means that she loves cuddly stuffed toys. So she's the opposite of our Amy. But if this stuffed animal has a box inside to make it light up or play music or whatever, she doesn't like it.
Frightening.
Yeah, she doesn't like that. She's into super soft socks, but she hates games. So... keeping in mind, all children are different. In response to that, Jennifer chimed back in and said, yeah, it really is best to ask. My daughter hates anything that vibrates in a way or makes too much noise. So my son has an intellectual disability and doesn't play with typical toys for a boy his age. For example, right now, all the toys in this house, and he's thrilled, rolling an empty wrapping paper tube across the room. And you think about very young children, you know, at Christmas time, what do they care about the most? The wrapping paper and the boxes that things come in. So we have to take into account.
Yeah, we had a great time one time when a our
was it a wood stove?
Our wood stove went up, and all the pipes and came from the boxes, and the kids really enjoyed playing with the boxes.
Yes, yeah, and you can do so many creative things with boxes, and we're going to talk about that actually in the second part of our podcast today about how to keep the kids occupied on these days, especially between Christmas and New Year's when there is no school and you're trying to figure out what on earth am I going to do to keep these kids happy and out of trouble. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So the conclusion in that little discussion time was it is always a good idea to ask parents if you are giving gifts to them, to their children. Now, Amanda shared with us that the main causes of her son's meltdowns is when things come apart. So they have to resort to only whole toys that can't come apart if they don't want him to have a meltdown. And here's a great idea, tickets to events. Maureen said that her son has all the toys in the world and doesn't understand really the concept of playing, but he has a big smile exploring new places and taking car rides. So what about gift cards for school supplies? Melissa contributed that idea and added that games and books are helpful to her family. You can tell that Joanna has a tender heart with this comment. She says she wants her child to have experiences with loving family members. She said that it not only gives her a break, and we all need that, don't we? But she also knows that child is getting quality one-on-one time and attention to show that they are loved. That makes us all the happiest. So coupons are cool. We did coupons from time to time for our kids. You know, a coupon of a one-on-one date or some kind of special thing to do with a person. You
can cash it in at any time.
Yeah. Denise likes art supplies and fidgets, iTunes cards and books, science kits and Audible books, and Amazon gift cards. Wow, all of those ideas really brought back a lot of memories, didn't they? I mean, I would go to Sam's Club every year and look for the science kits that they would put on special for Christmas time. And we always had some kind of science kit going on with our kids during that week between Christmas and New Year's and beyond. And yeah, art supplies. We probably could have taken stock out in Michael's and any place that would sell stuff that we could create things. And here's another mom who likes to get therapy stuff and sensory stuff for her kid. Now, again, you know, we would often give Amy things like squeeze balls and massagers or ask other people to give those for her. A mom named Julie said that she had learned to let her son choose after wasting hundreds of dollars on stuff he never played with. I told her, I said, you're really wise. And what kinds of things does he pick? I was curious about that. Julie says, this child likes Elmo, Dora, and Bob the Builder. And she's getting him a new quote-unquote blankie this year. His old one is 16 years old.
Wow, it's lasted a long time.
And getting ratty. I would imagine it would be. That's the only thing that concerns me. I used to worry about him with age-appropriate toys. There comes a point in time, I'm listening to, you know, this mama's heart. There comes a point in time when we get to know our children and we think, okay, we can let go of some of those things that we're running after that may not are going to happen. You know, it's not very good English, but I think people know what I mean. And just kind of rest in who this kid is at 16, you know, and love on him the way that will best love, you know.
Yeah, we didn't make a big deal of it, but one of our kids liked their little blanket.
Yes.
A blue blanket, a green blanket. So.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was okay.
And it was okay. And that's, you know, sometimes we just have to relax on those things. And if they can't be comfortable in their own home, where can they be comfortable? Of course, we always want to nudge them a little bit and help them to grow. We don't want them to get stuck if it's possible for them to move beyond that developmental step. But sometimes you just need to kind of relax on those things. And so, you know, she used to worry, she said, about her son playing with age-appropriate toys. And then she realized, who cares? He's happy. And that's really all I care about. I just thought that she is such a dear mom. So she says, I told her that, and she says, okay, it's 2 days into the break. I sure don't feel like it, but thank you anyway. I think all of us are pretty amazing. We deal with a lot. And our sentiment is that we are so proud of them and impressed with these moms.
Yes, they've taken challenging situations and found good answers. And I agree with Julie. We all think you are pretty amazing too.
If you're the parent of a child with challenges, we hope you're encouraged and have gotten some good ideas from this group of moms. If you're not raising a child with challenges, but you love them, we hope that you've got new awareness around gift giving. So let's move into our next section, holiday free time, keeping the kids occupied.
Yes, so very important.
What can you do to keep a kid out of trouble, but also growing and developing well?
Right.
Here's some ideas.
One of our daughters is a nanny to three young children, six and under. And here's some ideas that she put forward.
Okay, so I love this one.
Yeah.
Cats and dogs. This is where she tosses stuffed animals to the kids, and they need to fetch them and bring them back.
Great developmental exercises, too.
And then she mentioned games like Zingo are very popular, and puzzles are really popular for this group of children that she nannies. We remember using masking tape to make roads all over the kitchen and other rooms of the house for little cars to travel on.
Right. Then we got the rug that had it all painted on. But
we did. That was
fun. It was a little more localized.
Yeah.
But you can cover the whole house with masking tape to make the roads.
And then you have to watch where you walk because you're stepping on matchbox cars everywhere you go, but it was so worth it.
Yeah, and homemade Play-Doh was a favorite at our house, too. Yeah. You were good at making Play-Doh.
We made it a lot, and we wanted the kids to have the opportunity to get creative, and there's sensory stuff that goes on
right. When
you're playing around with dough as well. And, of course, reading books is often a child favorite.
Yep.
So reading books.
Trip to the library.
Oh my goodness, trips to the library. Yeah. We would come home with 50 books sometimes. And that's fine and dandy, except
for remember to take them back on time.
And when you didn't, we could have, I think we probably were responsible for one of the new renovations for some of those libraries. I don't know. Anyway, giving children opportunity to get creative with building toys can be great for keeping them occupied as well. So, you know, wooden blocks and Legos and Duplos, and there's a gazillion other different kinds of toys that you can buy that help you to build things and get creative. And they can be quite satisfying for children. Pretending and role playing is often enticing for the kids. Switching roles and pretending that you're the child and they are the adult can be rather entertaining for us grown-ups.
You learn a lot about what they think of us, too.
It's pretty cool. And we probably can hear them speaking the way we speak to them, which can be an eye-opener, too, because sometimes we don't realize how we do that.
Okay. Using props like play dishes, play food, doll furniture, clothing, that's always fun, too.
Yeah. Playing dress-up can be very educational for kids, too. When you have a few minutes, check out Goodwill or Salvation Army or some other thrift stores for dress-up clothes. Hats, shoes, accessories like scarves and oversized jewelry. Kids love that stuff.
And we did a lot of art projects at our house. We used simple things like marshmallows and toothpicks, and we're still doing that.
Yes, we are. It's kind of fun. You can create all kinds of things with marshmallows and toothpicks. Butcher paper. Crayons, colored pencils, and child scissors. Really fun to keep those on hand so that when they're idle, when they're fighting with each other, when they're just, I don't know what to do, I'm bored, pull it out and they can create.
And we mentioned boxes. They can be made, you can make houses out of them, garages, little dollhouses out of boxes.
Very fun because you can draw windows on there and open them and make them 3D, it's really kind of fun. And stickers can entertain children for hours. Some kids are really into stickers, and some of ours were not. So, you know, sometimes it's really fun for them to put them on paper, cardboard boxes, or foam sheets, and sometimes they're just so not into that sort of thing. So you gotta know your kids, right? Having the children lie down on the butcher paper and tracing each other or an adult trace them was a fun activity for our kids. Some of them got pretty creative in drawing in hair with accessories like bows and headbands, fingernails, facial features, ears, and clothing. Little craft kits were fun for the kids as well. And, oriental trading was so much fun. I was the one who was all excited when I would order these little kits and they would come for the different holiday seasons and we would work on them for Easter and for Halloween and for Christmas. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. We were also famous for creating obstacle courses Because we needed to do lots of therapy and brain-stimulating work with our kids, we would set up a course to incorporate things like
crawling on the belly, like army style, creeping on hands and knees, like puppies and kittens, walking on knees with a wooden mold, that's to help their hip development, marching and touching opposite knees, skipping and touching opposite knees, spinning in an office chair, jumping on a mini trampoline, and some other things.
What was cool about these obstacle courses, too, is that the whole time we were doing it, we knew that it was also helping the kids.
Yes.
You can add things to the obstacle course, like making a small hill to climb over, a tube to crawl through, a blanket tent to crawl through. Keeping our kids occupied and also stimulating their brains and bodies with movement, sensory helps, focus projects, manipulating and building and pretending and role-playing was a win-win for development as well as keeping them occupied.
Okay, very good.
Before we end the program today, we want to tell you about a way that you might help your children in their spiritual focus as well. Our friend, Roberta Meyer, created something fun to help kids focus on Christmas, the Christmas in the Bible. She wrote a children's book entitled God's Special Messenger. You can find it on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble's, and we'll put the Amazon link in the show notes for you. One customer had this to share on Amazon Review. A simple, beautifully illustrated children's book telling the Christmas story through the angel Gabriel. But this book goes further than just telling the story. It brings the message that all of us can be used by God, especially wonderful, where the discussion starters at the end of the book. They encourage children to think more deeply about how they can be used by God. This is a book to be kept and shared throughout the years with the children of family and friends. And she gives this book a 5 stars.
And what is the title of the book again?
God's Special Messenger.
God's Special Messenger.
Roberta says the book was written as a way of emphasizing at Christmas that Jesus is the reason for the season. It emphasizes that God chose Gabriel to be his special messenger. She also recently created a game that fits nicely along with the book. She's calling the game Hide and Seek Happy Birthday Jesus. This game, Roberta shares, is a fun way of emphasizing the Christmas story with Gabriel hiding with a birthday candle 7 nights before Christmas in anticipation of Jesus' birth. Families are to prepare a pretend cake where the nightly candles can be placed in order to prepare for Christmas. Roberta says much dialogue can happen while deciding how the pretend cake will be made, along with how Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, can be made, since he will be the one nightly hiding with the candle. Roberta suggests that Angel Gabriel have a candle of some kind which he can hide nightly. The candle can be a real birthday candle that would be placed nightly in the cake, or something like a pipe cleaner with a pom-pom for the flame. Scripture can be read after the candle is placed on the cake. Having the children... Oh, I already said that. Okay, so if you are looking for a great project for a child you love, which is true, any time of the year, really... it's still true that Jesus was born at Christmas time, and you can talk about that at any time of the year, right? Check out God's Special Messenger and consider doing the activity Hide and Seek Happy Birthday Jesus. You may have lots of time to entertain a child between now and New Year's with school being out. This may be a very fun project to keep your kids occupied and focused on Bible things. And we want you to know it is never too late.
We're coming to the end, and there's always hope for your child, the end of this broadcast. We are Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the Ministry of Champions for Parents. We are USA missionaries to parents, especially those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups, wherever they meet. We have spoken to parenting conferences, mothers of preschoolers, moms next groups, homeschooling groups, ladies brunch groups.
And all of these are starting to line up for next year again, which
yes,
is very exciting.
Awana conferences, and the list goes on. We also talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. So if you know of any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, send us an email at champions4parents@gmail.com. Let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle and their families, and you are looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who's been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.